Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 115 of the Panelcast. I am AJ, and with me always is Martin.
Hi, guys.
I say always because me and Martin seem to be like, you know, Laurel and Hardy now, so get used to it.
Do I get to be Laurel or Hardy?
You know, I never remember who's who, so I don't think it really matters in that point.
I think you want to be Hardy.
I want to be the tall, skinny one, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Right.
So I'll be Costello or the Abbott.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, or... Anyway, I was on Mice and Men, all this other stuff, references popping in my brain. So, it's been a while since we've recorded, and we apologize for that. It's all Martin's fault, because he's always sick and dying.
Yes.
That's what happens when you're short and fat, you get sick all the time.
I'm just happy I can talk out loud again. I'm sure the rest of the world will be unhappy about it, but I'm happy.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed your deep, growly voice. It was kind of doing a little something there for me.
Talk to me deeper, Martin.
Right. Sure your girlfriend really appreciated it as well.
Yeah.
Like that episode of Family Guy where he has the raspy voice and Lois just can't stay off of him.
Oh, I was thinking How I Met Your Mother. They had the smoking episode the other day where Lily had the raspy voice all episode.
Yep, that one too. So there you go. So this episode, we are going to talk about some of the news that's out there. Not a lot of comic news, a lot of comic book-related movie news and TV show news. So we're just going to try to cover that. I'm also going to be reviewing Revival as well as Thanos Rising. We're going to touch base a little bit with what we've been doing in the past month since you've last heard from us. And a whole bunch of insults playing back and forth between Martin and myself. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll try and keep it short and sweet so that you guys don't get bored too quickly. But I hold no promises. So yeah, all that and more after we come back from this break. Be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RibbitsComics@Facebook.com, and you can take a look at my blogspot at RibbitsComics@Blogspot.com, and I hope to see you guys there.
And we're back. Did you miss us?
No.
You didn't miss me?
No. Well, your voice just cracked, so maybe.
Oh, yeah. See, that you want that raspy voice back. That's all you care about.
Yep.
Well, let's keep talking then, and maybe I'll lose it by the end of the show.
Yay!
So I understand that we have been away for a while, and there is tons of news. I'm going to let AJ start, and I'll jump on in a little bit.
You said that, and all of a sudden I had They Might Be Giants stuck in my head. Don't let it start. I got a wee card. Anyway, first up, on the TV news, a lot of shows have been, you know, there's just a lot of stories going on with the cancellations, the new shows, and everything coming out. And maybe down the road we might do a special panel cast where we just discuss purely that, because it's just too much to try and contain in one show and go over everything else we need to talk about. But something that did stand out immediately was the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer that was released. Already a lot of speculation coming out from the trailer with seeing J. August Richards show up as having some sort of power and being discussed as possibly being Luke Cage. The trailer itself runs at about 2 minutes and 48 seconds. It was precluded by a short teaser and then a longer teaser and then finally this long trailer that came out. And having watched it, I'm very excited for it. I'm also excited to see Joss Whedon finally back on TV. I think he probably redeemed himself with Avengers and ABC, and everybody else is like, well, let's give him one more shot on TV. He did make $1 billion. What did you think of the trailer, Martin?
Hashtag don't touch Lola.
Right.
That I'm surprised. I still haven't seen T-shirts. You know, come on, Internet. It's been more than 24 hours. We should have a T-shirt out there by now that says, don't touch Lola.
But you know what? We also haven't been to any conventions in a couple weeks, so who knows what...
That's true. But it's one of those things where Agent Coulson is back. The surprise favorite character of the Avengers movie, Phil Coulson, who, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie yet, and what the hell's your problem if you haven't, is killed off in Avengers, the movie, and is now back and alive and part of Level 7 at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
His name is Agent Coulson. His name is Agent Coulson. Sorry.
Dun, dun, dun. Like, you know, it's, I think the trailer showed a very different type of superhero show than we're normally used to seeing. Watching Arrow this last season, felt a little bit more like watching a movie. And S.H.I.E.L.D., from the trailer, it felt more like we were watching a sitcom. It's not going to be, I think, over-the-top movie style, like, done. It's going to be a one-hour TV show, and you're going to be able to tell you're watching something on the small screen, which I think will be beneficial for Marvel as well, because they have so many big screen adaptions, they need something a little bit different.
I think that with S.H.I.E.L.D., they'll be able to take a little pressure off of the film adaptations that are coming out to perform well. Like, they can do little lead-ins here and there, you know, like, season cliffhangers can end in, like, Thor Into Darkness. Thor, you know, the second movie, and so on and so forth. So they can do little snippets that can lead us into the big films, which will save them in commercials and advertising and all that other stuff, as well as trying to explain to the layman what's going on with Ant-Man or all this stuff, you know, having to see an origin story. We might be able to see that in S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV series. So I think maybe that's a smart move on their part, if Joss Whedon can make the show last longer than two seasons.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think this is his real chance to do that, too. Fans seem to be wanting more superheroes on TV. And like you were saying earlier, how many shows have we talked about? Cancellations, pilots not getting picked up. We were recently talking about The Sixth Gun, and that got passed on. Powers over at FX is still in limbo.
Where the hell is Powers? We should be seeing Powers by now.
Right. And, you know, there's been other shows in the past where they seemed really close to being made and then it didn't end up happening, or they just did a terrible pilot. So it's cool to see this actually coming to TV in the fall. And it was picked up almost immediately. The pilot was done, and I think before they even started editing it, it sounded like they were ready to go with this.
And with properties such as Daredevil and Blade coming back to Marvel now, they might be able to see some more implementation into the TV series as well with those characters.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would be really cool to see. I think some of those characters that people were always like, well, what about who, where are they, and things like that. I thought it was really cool that the teaser trailer showed a little bit of Hulk footage. That was kind of a cool teaser. There's a lot of places where they could bring in Samuel L. Jackson. I still think that cards like that are going to only be played when the ratings are down. But I think they have a lot of opportunity to bring in characters like that, bring in Captain America, like you said, do lead-ins to Thor right before winter hiatus next fall and things like that, so that they can play off each other, but at the same time have this small screen version, which would be really cool.
So that trailer is up. Go check it out. It's pretty awesome. Moving forward in the news, apparently there's an Iron Sky sequel in the works.
Yay!
No. For those of you who haven't seen it.
So excited for that movie.
When Iron Sky, we saw the trailer for Iron Sky, which is a movie that was released last year. We were all pretty amped because it looked very noir-ish, very 1950s sci-fi. And we were pretty amped about it. I don't know about you, Martin, but then I saw the movie and I was like, what the hell is this?
Right?
And, like, yeah.
It was a letdown. It built you up really, really high, and I think by the end of the movie, I was just like, what the hell?
And an obvious sign to these people that the movie was a disappointment, they're not doing Iron Sky the sequel via studio. They're doing it like they did the first film, by asking for funding via Indiegogo.
Oh, wow.
They're proposing a budget of $15 million. And they're going to pre-sell tickets to a movie that isn't even made yet. I don't see how this is going to work, but you know what? It did fine, the first ones. So, I mean, they made enough money to make the first film. We'll see how they do with the second film.
Yeah. It was an interesting marketing technique, you know, going to all those cons and pushing it. It was almost a whole year before we were able to get it here. In the U.S., they released it everywhere else but the U.S. At first, so... This is amazing. Maybe it'll be bigger overseas. The international market will pay for it on Indiegogo.
Yeah, because it makes fun of Americans, so why wouldn't it be bigger overseas? But yeah, Martin, what do you got?
Well, one of the things, you and I hadn't talked about this yet. We haven't gotten this down and talked about this, but The Crow, they're rebooting The Crow movie, and they've found their leading man, finally, after four or five rumored people, Bradley Cooper being in there, and things like that to take over. The new bad guy from Fast and the Furious 6, played by Luke Evans, has signed on to play the title character. And he thinks his comment is it's a great script, a really great script, and a fantastic director.
Of course he's going to say that. He's getting paid millions to say that.
Right. But he's talking about remembering the movie vividly from Brandon Levy. When, you know, the first Crow, and how he, when he was a kid, he saw that. So that was many years ago. It's really cool to have that. I think it's interesting to hear somebody say that about a character. It's different when you hear him say it about, like, I watched Superman as a kid, and now I'm going to play Superman kind of thing. But to hear somebody say that about the Crow, I find interesting. But I still don't know this guy enough to say, yeah, he could be the Crow, especially not knowing much about where they're going to go with this movie. Are they going to go back to the source material really closely? Or how are they going to portray this character this time around?
Right. I know that they're going to try. They're just basically remaking, the Eric Draven plot.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not they actually stick to the comic book format or not will be a big question. And I was more excited when I had found out that Tom Hiddleston was up for it, especially after seeing the new Thor trailer and seeing how he looked in there. You know, I was like, oh, man, yeah, I mean, Tom Hiddleston can nail the role. He looks just like the guy. But, yeah, so that changed. But, I mean, we've seen Luke Evans. I mean, he was Zeus in The Immortals. He was Apollo in Clash of the Titans. So we've seen him pull all these other roles of being pretty, Aramis in the new Three Musketeers. But if he can pull off Eric Draven, still remains to be seen.
A very dark character.
Right. I mean, we're going to have to wait till we see him in the next Hobbit before we can see him looking dirty and gritty, because he'll be Bard the Bowman in that one. So, very curious about that. But, I don't know. Eric Draven and The Crow was very instrumental into launching the industrial club movement. The way he looked, everything, the mixture of goth and industrial. And even so much as where the wrestler Sting took on his persona for the character in wrestling. You know, it was so instrumental, and honestly, it was one of the first soundtracks, too, that had all these big-name songs on it from big-name artists. And it was an icon. The Crow was an icon of its time. And so they have a lot of, it's going to be very pressure-driven to try and remake this and re-break the mold, basically. So I'm curious how it's gonna come across.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see, I think, a little bit longer. I'm hoping that this will be one of the films that we hear more about at Comic-Con in San Diego in July. But I have hopes that they can reboot it. I liked the Crow series. I didn't like when they rebooted the comics earlier this year. But I did like the movies. I did like the old comics. So hopefully we'll get back to some of that old style for it. Jumping across to another comic book turned cartoon, TV show turned movie, turned reboot, the Ninja Turtles set photos are hitting the internet everywhere. Today's release showed Megan Fox playing April O'Neil and Alan Ritchson playing Raphael in his very big, bulky looking motion capture suit. Have you seen these things?
I think those pictures are doing more to harm the film than they are to get anybody excited about it.
Right.
Only because it shows A, behind the scenes, and B, Megan Fox just looks like fucking Megan Fox dressed down.
Yeah, why didn't they cut her hair?
She does not look excited to be in the movie whatsoever. She looks bored, and she looks sloppy. There's nothing exciting about it. I don't care when I see her. In fact, when I see her in these pictures, it makes me not want to watch the movie even more. And the only reason I feel like I'm going right now is because of it's a turtle movie.
Yeah. Well, and I'm... So what we've seen from things from Andy Serkis doing motion capture in like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings trilogy with Gollum. We saw pictures of him in a motion capture suit, and so we kind of got to see what can be done with that. And so the suits that I'm seeing on these people playing the Turtles, like Alan Ritchson playing Raphael, gives me hope that they can at least build a good non-puppet kind of looking character. But we've seen video games lately that almost look like real life. So hopefully the CGI in this will have that caliber and will have the ability to look more realistic than cartoony. And Alan Ritchson is from Blue Mountain State, which I was a huge fan of, and I'm excited to see him acting somewhere else. And hopefully we'll get some of his persona of that character, of Thad from Blue Mountain State, in Raphael a little bit. One of the other things about Ninja Turtles is they finally released that Will Arnett's going to play Vernon Fenwick, who is a beloved, not really, character from the Ninja Turtles of the past, playing the cameraman at Channel 6, and he would screw around with April's stories and things like that. I'm wondering if his notoriety and his character charisma will steal the show. If he'll have we have Arrested Development, we have all these other things that he's been a part of, that he's going to come out, be really popular. He'll be the guy that'll come out on stage at San Diego Comic-Con this summer with Michael Bay, who will probably get booed as he comes out on stage, to show this clip, whatever they've been filming, because it seems like what they're all in a hurry to be doing right now is make some sort of footage available and ready by the end of spring to have it edited in time for July for San Diego Comic-Con. But I see Will Arnett coming out and really being the face. He's going to be the person that keeps coming forward and talking, because they definitely don't want to put Megan Fox on stage.
No, she'll get penciled.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things where I think we're going to have to give it time. Michael Bay finally coming out and saying that, that they're sticking to source material. Don't worry about the alien thing. The ooze can be alien just like it is in the cartoon. Now, things like that. So it's getting a little better, I think, with tidbits of information, but you're absolutely right. Megan Fox, I think, was a terrible choice for April O'Neil, and she does in all these pictures. She looks like Megan Fox from a TMZ picture or a tabloid cover.
Right. She looks like she's just she's an idiot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So that will definitely be a downfall for the movie, but hopefully the turtles will look awesome and the action will be good. And I'm sure there will be tons of explosions that we don't really need, since it is a Michael Bay movie.
Right. Moving forward in the news, Amazon has decided not to pick up the Zombieland pilot that was put out a couple weeks ago. Thanks,
those jerks.
God. I hated the pilot. I don't know about you.
Really?
Yeah, it was fucking stupid. OnStar, really, during a zombie apocalypse? First off,
yeah.
Who's manning the satellites to run this stuff? Who's doing the repairs on the lines to make sure everything's okay? And while I understand that when the world collapses around you, you just hold on to that one thing that makes you feel normal, which is a job at OnStar, how does she have the electricity to put that out? All these stupid people dying for no reason. The lady survived for all this time and gets tackled and thrown off a bridge by a zombie because she had pie. I'm just glad it didn't get picked up. I'm sorry. It was stupid. Because the fans hated it, that's why Amazon's not picking it up.
Which I think was a cool part of the process. They really did leave it up to the fans to talk about this, or to vote on these pilots. And I watched many of them. Most of them I turned off within the first 3 minutes. But it was interesting to see Zombieland put out that way. And it is good that the fans got to make the choice on whether or not they would actually watch it. I found it to be on the same level as watching Dumb and Dumber. Just over-the-top stupid. Would I have watched it for a whole season? Probably not. Or I would have waited until all the episodes were available and kind of crammed through some of them, fast-forwarded through the ones that were annoying, skipped over some that were stupid.
And here's what's funny. The writer and producer, Rhett Reese, put this out on Twitter. He goes on saying, quote, "Our Zombieland series will not be moving forward on Amazon. Sad for everyone involved. I'll never understand the vehement hate the pilot received from diehard Zombieland fans. You guys successfully hated it out of existence. Anyway, we did our very best, and we're very proud of our team." End quote. If you're proud of that, then your mother must be retarded because she's proud of you.
Did he just yell at the fans, too?
Yes, he blamed them.
Wow.
Which is exactly our... You know what, dude? Here's the thing. You want the fans to like it.
Yeah.
And if the fans hate it, that should tell you something. It means it sucked. You want the fans to be appeased by it. They weren't. Get the hint. Move on. You should have been like, oh, my bad, guys. We'll try something different.
Thanks for the chance, or thanks for the fans that loved it, something like that. But wow,
basically, you guys are stupid because you don't like my vision. I hate you.
I'm gonna go hide in the basement.
Yeah, stupid.
That's unfortunate.
Moving forward, Chronicle star Michael B. Jordan has shot down online reports that he will reteam with the film director Josh Trank on the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot. Rumors have been going around that he was going to be playing the Human Torch. Johnny Storm. Which would have been kind of cool. I kind of would have liked to have seen that, but sad that it didn't go through.
After his character portrayal in Chronicle, which if you guys haven't seen that movie, go watch that movie.
What is wrong?
It was cool to see what he could do with superpowers.
Right.
So I think as Human Torch, he would have been
really good. He played the supporting guy really good. You know, he was supporting the main character, all that stuff, you know. He went from being a super popular jock guy. He was the only one that had a girlfriend, you know, but he was still handled his powers. He was actually a kid in a candy store with those powers. So
he had some of that cockiness that Johnny Storm needs.
Right.
So it was, yeah, he would have done well in it. And I think there was definitely a way to play the storyline to make it still he's the brother of Sue Storm, or however they want to do the whole family dynamic of the Fantastic Four movie. But I'm sure he'll land somewhere else. There are plenty of roles that he could be playing in superhero movies.
Absolutely. So with that, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue on this.
Hey, this is Andrea from Andrea's Gaming Lounge. Make sure you take a look every day, several times a day, at ForbiddenPanel.com to check out all the greatest gaming news and reviews.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, continuing on. Martin, what are the stories have you got for us?
I have, believe it or not, you might want to sit down for this.
I
have comic book news.
No.
Actual comic books. As fans would know if they've recently visited ForbiddenPanel.com, we published an announcement from Boom Studios regarding the release of an upcoming book this summer, The Return of RoboCop, to series from Frank Miller and Stephen Grant. Who had worked previously on RoboCop series. It's actually both of them worked at different publishers for it as well. They're coming back. Detroit is now basically just barren and abandoned. The OCP runs the town. ED-209s are actually the ones that are out on the street patrolling for criminals. And basically it's the idea of Delta City is well underway. So RoboCop's got to come in and save the city. And this will be really cool, I think, for old fans. It seems like Frank Miller is coming back with an old screenplay of his to bring the story back to the fans that maybe didn't get it in the movies. Because I'm sure you remember RoboCop 2 and 3 and how people reacted to those movies. I felt they were more like a straight-to-video kind of thing. Myself, RoboCop being the first rated R movie I ever saw as a kid, and so I became a huge fan of it at a young age, and to watch those movies go forward, and then to go and try and find the comic books on it was always interesting. It's now cool to see Frank Miller coming back. Stephen Grant is adapting that screenplay into this book called RoboCop Last Stand, and it will hit shelves this August. And that was one story. If you want more info on that, you can also see the first cover that they released on ForbiddenPanel.com.
Yay, comic book news.
Yep. I also have some more comic book news from the big bad DC Comics as they get ready to cancel four more titles from the new DC 52.
Further proof that their new 52 idea just didn't work.
Well, it's interesting this time around because Demon Knights and Legion of Superheroes has actually been a part of the DC 52 for a lot longer than the other two titles that are being canceled, Threshold and Dial H. Dial H being a fan favorite. So it's interesting to see those comics be canceled. especially for the timeline of Demon Knights and Legion of Superheroes. And they're being canceled in August, so the last issue will be released in August, and that's just before DC starts its next, what have now become the September events. Every September they've been doing special events. 2 Septembers ago, of course, was the start of the new DC 52. Last year, September 2012, was the Zero issue release. This year, 2013, September, will be Villains Month, where all the bad guys will take over their respective comic books, and the stories will be told from the bad guys' perspective, which could be really cool. Hopefully it works out. I would like to see him do it for more than just 1 month, so hopefully we'll get a good storyline out of it for each book. But the question remains, what 4 titles will replace the 4 comic books being canceled? We have the Trinity War, which is coming up this summer, involving not the usual DC Trinity of Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, but Pandora and I believe the Phantom Stranger and the Question are the 2 others that they're talking about. I haven't heard too many more details on it. I have a feeling that's going to be the big summer con comic book that's talked about. And that still leaves 3 other titles to refer to. So it'll be interesting to see where DC Comics goes with this cancellation. And sadly, that is all I have on actual comic books.
It's weird to think that the New 52 was launched 2 years ago.
A little bit. But I think we kind of got numb to it as we started to hear Marvel Now come out. And, you know, they restarted how many books? I think they passed 52 by now.
By now?
By now. so, you and I were talking about this a little bit off-air before. There's so little comic book news out there. It's all comic book movies, video games, TV shows, because comic books don't seem to be doing so well. Smaller titles, like Bedlands and things like that, are ones that we're hearing. Bedlam and smaller books from Image and Boom are books that we're hearing more about and get little releases. They're not as big for publishing, but they're the ones that actually get the news now. DC and Marvel have kind of faded back. And they've got to do things like these villain months.
I was thinking about it, and I think, honestly, what's happening is maybe they're just withholding all the news because Comic-Con is coming up in San Diego in a couple months. So maybe we're seeing that little drought of news before Comic-Con, so that everything that gets released there is all fresh and brand new and exciting.
Yeah. I think Comic-Con is going to have huge announcements. I think the covers for Villains Month will definitely be there. That's the September event is always released at San Diego Comic-Con, and the art's always really cool to see there, and then you drool for 2 months before they actually start to come out. So that'll definitely be there. I'm very interested to see storylines that have to do with the Avengers, the new X-Men. Will we see some sort of new X-Men tie-in book to the new X-Men movie that's coming out? And then Kick-Ass 3, you know, the movie comes out this summer, but I haven't heard much else about it. I heard there was a couple art pages released the other day, but nothing else. So, you know, you're right. It's got to be that they're holding out for the summer con season.
Moving forward in some news, this one I'm not even going to give too much attention to other than to say, even though the first sequel isn't out yet, Red 3 has been confirmed that they're going to start making that movie. Further proving that they're just stealing the name and using it, because, I mean, that movie really had nothing to do with the comic book. Speaking of movies that have nothing to do with what they're based on, if you head over to our ZombieKillSquad.net page, you'll see a news story that was posted that another site had talked to Max Brooks about the upcoming World War Z movie, to where he says, dude, that's not my movie. I don't know what you're talking about. Screw that movie. So,
please take my name off it.
Yeah. Makes you wonder if he, much like Stephen King, is going to petition to have his name removed from the title or have anything to do with the movie. Stephen King did the same to Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining because he said while the movie was great, it had nothing to do with his book. So we shall see if that happens. One big bit of news that I kind of wanted to talk about that we can, I don't know, I'm afraid of this. I've put out the word to all of my friends that not to talk about this movie, not to bring up this movie, not to discuss this movie at all until we go and see it. and that is Pacific Rim.
Yay!
The full-length trailer came out this past week, which we posted on the website at forbiddenpanel.com, that shows just, I don't know, I was too excited for words. The trailer just
yeah.
amazing and fantastic and pretty and just awesome. And so I've told, you know, I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to have the story ruined for me. There's no way in hell the visuals can be ruined for me. I just don't want to know about it. I want to walk into it and just be that 8-year-old little boy sitting in the theater with his dad and just, yay, you know. And that's what I want to be when I walk into this movie. And from the trailer, I will not be disappointed. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question then? So I know I'm not supposed to talk about it because I read all the spoilers. But what about things like the prequel comic? Does stuff like that interest you?
See, I was going to get into that next. I have no desire to read the prequel comic book.
Okay.
I think that it's A, there's no way that the art in that comic book, which I've seen, will compare to the visuals that we're going to see in the movie. And I think that 75% of that movie is going to be visual. And so to take away that aspect makes me have no desire to read the prequel comic book. Also, to read the comic book would give away what I'm going to get into in the movie, and I don't want to do that either. I just want to walk in there and be fully immersed in this new world that I know nothing about, that's going to just appease every ounce of geekness that lies within me. So, yeah, I'm abstaining. And maybe, you know, our website may take a hit. I'm warning the fans right now that are listening to this, because I will not be posting anything Pacific Rim related until the film comes out. And I apologize for that ahead of time, but I don't want to ruin it for myself. I want to be happy and excited and surprised when I walk into this film. So,
which sounds very much, the way you're talking about it, is how Guillermo del Toro talks about this film when he's asked about it. Very giddy, very young boyish, super excited. We talked about this after WonderCon, in the panel cast after WonderCon, about how excited he was and how glad he was that he got to use his vision for this movie. It wasn't torn apart by the studio or edited down for things like that. The studio did convince him to put it in 3D, which I think will be worth it from what we've seen so far. If this movie doesn't end up on an IMAX screen, IMAX 3D, I will be very disappointed.
Well, we're seeing this IMAX or RPX, one way or another. We're seeing this movie. And if there's any movie out there that deserves 3D, much like Star Trek was this past week, it's got to be this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So I'm excited about the comic book. I think it's really cool. I think it's stupid to put it out before the movie. I would like to come out of that movie and be like, man, I wonder how they got to that point,
right,
and then go to my store and buy it.
Right.
I don't want to read it beforehand. I don't want that piece. I do kind of want the action figures beforehand. And I do want the posters with the blueprints of the Jaegers and the picture of the skull of the monster was really cool that they showed a little bit in the trailer of. Things like that look really cool to me, and they get people excited about the films. I don't think that they hopefully will give away too much if you were to get the action figures ahead of time, but it looks like it's going to be a really cool art piece in my mind. Like, we're going to see so much visual, like you were saying, so much visual stimulation. I think action figures to me, the statues that will come out of this, the posters, these remind me of old big, this is a big blockbuster to me. This is what I think a Godzilla movie should be presented like. These are things that I would want to see in the theater on an IMAX or an RPX screen. I'd also want to go watch it at like the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those ones where you just like sit outside and watch it on a big giant screen and the whole audience is there outside cheering, things like that. It feels like it's going to be that kind of movie too. So I think it's interesting that the actors haven't been interviewed too much. Like, we see bits and pieces, but most of this is just the trailers selling it. It's not actors going around on late-night talk shows yet, being interviewed on the carpets and red carpets and things like that about the movie. Of course, they will become important later down the road, but for right now, it's really cool to just see that alone, it's monsters and robots fighting. Who doesn't want to forget?
Right, and they call them kaiju.
Yeah.
Yay.
And all original from what he's saying. all original monsters that came out of, they did like American Idol competitions in the studio to talk about which ones were going forward, which kaiju were going forward, and that's kind of cool.
You know, I grew up on Godzilla, and I grew up on Robotech, and Transformers, and just anything mech-related, and, you know, so this is, a live-action version of this is what fans like myself, fans of Robotech, have been dying to see. Robot Jocks, we saw a bit of it, but horribly. I'm done. No more talking.
Yeah, it's going to be a good, I think it'll be a good summer blockbuster for us.
Absolutely. Moving forward, the much anticipated Michael Fassbender-led film adaptation of the successful Assassin's Creed video game series has locked down a May 22, 2015 release date. DreamWorks Animation has set June 5th, 2015 release date for its new series, BOO, Bureau of Otherworldly Operations. But none of that really matters. What you guys should just know is that they are going to begin filming the Assassin's Creed movie, and it'll be released in May 22nd, 2015. Sounds like an early showing of that will be, again, on my birthday, so we might have to check that out.
It's cool to see, to hear about these movies that are, you know, they're locking down dates and stuff, and obviously nowadays with things like Star Wars Episode 7, Avengers 2, possible Justice League movie coming out in 2015, a lot more studios are locking down these dates for 2015.
Right.
And I think that Assassin's Creed has the clout and the ability to be a big movie that year. And I think that doing the end of May is a good weekend, provided we get nothing else around it. You know, it, one of the things that I think will be a downfall this year is we have a lot of movies that are coming out the same week. And it's just knocking them out. I think one of the things that hurt Star Trek this past week is the fact that it came out right after Iron Man 3. And there's stuff like that that's going to keep happening. Now, Marvel already has a movie date planned for the opening weekend in May, like they always do, right around Free Comic Book Day. The last weekend sounds like it's going to be Assassin's Creed. They were aiming for Avengers 2 sometime in the midsummer. And Justice League, I'm sure, right around there, and then Star Wars to close out the summer, would be really interesting. And it's going to be a big year for movies. And that's 2 years from now. We're talking about big movies already. So I'm excited. I just now became a fan of Assassin's Creed, just got to start playing it, and I think a movie would be perfect for that franchise.
See, I have no love for Assassin's Creed, the video game. I just don't like open-world games. We've discussed this before.
Yeah.
However, that does not mean I don't appreciate the story or the art or any of the graphics I've seen from. It looks amazing, but it's just not for me. However, continuing on our discussion about video games, what does look exciting for me, today the new Batman Arkham Origins video game trailer has been released. And we have it up on the website. Please take a look at it. Hit pause on the show and go watch the trailer. We'll wait. We'll give you a couple seconds of silence. Okay, you should be back by now. Wasn't that shit awesome, right?
Right.
At some point in time, halfway through, you forget that it's a video game. It looks so realistic. The physics behind it is so realistic. Even myself, I'm somewhat of a martial arts person. I was noticing the footing and the balance and everything behind it, and they had it right. It looks fantastic. Deathstroke looked awesome. Batman looks great in his little armor outfit that they seem to be going with nowadays. And the highlight for me had to have been Black Mask.
Yeah, Black Mask was definitely my highlight.
So, like, yeah, dude, I'm pretty amped. And the fact that Kevin Conroy has confirmed his involvement in the upcoming video game as the voice of Batman just adds to it. He has been the voice of Batman for decades now. So.
Well, I'm actually reading a story right now that's popping up saying that he is working on a Batman Arkham game, but they have a different person voicing Batman and Joker. Roger Craig Smith has been confirmed to voice Batman, with Troy Baker providing the voice for Joker.
And Origins?
in Origins, but it says Conroy's comments about working on the next Arkham game do bring up an interesting point. Will the actor voice a different character in Origins, or is Rocksteady in fact working on a true sequel to their Arkham City title, where Conroy will voice Batman?
Well, we're supposed to see, if anybody played the last Arkham City, they saw that it, the whole excitement thing when they released that little snippet at MTV Movie Awards. Or no,
Arkham World.
Yeah, Arkham World. Or maybe it was the Video Game Awards, the Spike TV Video Game Awards, that they were doing Arkham World. So that could be the true sequel, and this could just be a little prequel to keep us excited for the next game to come out, and I'm okay with that.
Right. Well, and I think like the way they run this game series, there's a lot of ways where this origin story could feed an Arkham World story.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many ways they can relate all these movies to each other, and the look that they give them. This is why I bought a PlayStation 3. I bought a PlayStation 3 to play the original Batman Arkham City. And it was just an awesome game, and I bought it just in time for the sequel to come out. Or Arkham City was a sequel. But I bought it so that I could play these games, and it was one of those games where I sat there and just played and played and played, you know, forget job, forget eating, forget sleeping, play this game. And just amazing visuals, great gameplay, really got you back into the Batman mythos and legend.
Great
and
physics engine. Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's just, we were talking about this the other day with the Injustice Gods Among Us videos, how someone went out and put all the clips together, all the video clips together to make a movie. And I'm still waiting for that, for these Batman Arkham series games. I think that would just be awesome. And to see more toys, obviously, from the game. They already released the mock-up for the Black Mask character, which I will probably be pre-ordering right away. But, yeah, it looks phenomenal.
Will you be cosplaying at some point?
There's not a character skinny enough or ugly enough for me to take on. Even Black Mask would be too hard. I'd have to wear, like, some sort of bodysuit to at least pull that off.
Scarecrow.
Yeah, no. No. He is ugly enough, though, from that series.
We had discussed in the earlier news story, talking about what's hurting Star Trek. Currently, the film is sitting at $80.5 million, which is 80% above what the 2009 film was doing, but it's still nowhere near the range that they had projected for it. So our concern is, my question is, like, why? Why is it taking such a hit? Something we can discuss in a later segment in the show, but just I wanted to bring that up. $80 million is what Star Trek has brought in this weekend.
Which was less than its original, the Star Trek 2009 movie brought in.
No. It's 80% above.
Oh, they said it was lower than the $100 million mark earlier today.
Oh, that must be
that
new
they
news.
Were talking
yeah.
about. It was it didn't do as well of an opening on the three-day. I'm sorry, the three-day opening piece of it. Was not as big as the three-day opening of the 2009, which was also delayed from its original Christmas opening. So, if you haven't listened to the panel cast or the Midnight Movie Maniacs podcast review of Star Trek, you should pause the show and go listen to that podcast real quick and then come back. You'll understand what we're talking about.
And the last piece of news I have, which will make, I hope, everybody all happy and excited. It was reported on Dark Horizons earlier today, which got its news from the live feed. And I'm going to quote verbatim from the article here so you guys can hear it. Disney has given the green light to Lucasfilm Animation's new television series, Star Wars Rebels, which will launch in fall of 2014. The cartoon will premiere as a one-hour special on Disney Channel before commencing as a TV series on Disney XD, with production already underway. Set between the prequels and the original trilogy, the story is set in a time where the Empire is securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire is taking shape. Simon Kinberg of X-Men First Class and Sherlock Holmes is executive producing and will write the premiere episode. Dave Filoni, Star Wars The Clone Wars, and Greg Weissman, Young Justice, will also executive produce. I think with the failing of the Seth Green version of Star Wars, the anime show that it was supposed to come out, they're trying to figure out something else to fill it with. And with
the Clone Wars coming to an end this next season. You know, they're just, again, trying to fill that gap and so forth. However,
I think it's a really good jump, too.
Right.
Right? From Clone Wars to this.
However, with the collapse of the video game company that was putting out 1313 and all these other Star Wars video games that we were expecting, hopefully they can incorporate some of the cinematics that have already been created and characters that have already been created for those video games into the series so that we're not just left hanging on what we had hoped to see. So, yeah. I like Star Wars.
I'm excited to see what characters we're going to get out of this and to see where it's going to go. I thought that the Clone Wars, when it first started up, was a cool concept. The idea of where it took place in the storyline of the movies fit. It eventually, I think, became just too odd. Things like bringing back Darth Maul from the dead and stuff like that.
Savage Opress.
Yeah, it was just... It went a little too far. And so Rebels sounds like it would be a really cool take on... Luke and Leia are children. So where could we use that in this story? Obi-Wan Kenobi's gone to hide off on Tatooine and all those kind of things. Where do we find those characters there? Or do they go with a whole new batch of characters?
Right.
Things we haven't seen, like you were saying, things from like the video games and the short stories and the little novelizations that are out there.
I would like to see a little homage or throwback to... I completely forgot what it was called. Shadows of the Empire. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to see Shadows of the Empire somehow incorporated into that series. That's one of my favorite video games and side stories that took place in the Star Wars universe, because it took place during Hoth, during Empire Strikes Back. It, like, side storied out to something else. And was really, honestly, one of the best video game adaptations that had come out, especially since it had its own story, so I'm very excited about that. However, at some point in time, these guys are going to have to make a Jedi Academy. They've got to do it. They've got to put it together, be it bring it back to the video games, all the latest Star Wars one with the clone that was running around killing everybody. Something, you know, along that line, like a first-person player or something, that they got to bring it back and address it, or bring it back in film or TV or something. Because that is something all the fans have wanted to see. You can't have Episode 1 come out and have all these Jedi running all over the place for the first time. We're seeing more than just two. And then not address the Jedi Academy or anything like that. You got to, you know, at least acknowledge it somewhere.
Yeah. And there's so much you could do with Star Wars, I think. And when we saw that from all the things that were talked about after the merger with Disney, you know, shutting down LucasArts, the gaming stuff, the, you know, all the different pieces that we found out about projects going on here and the Seth Green show, stuff like that. It was, you know, there were obviously lots of opportunities and potential for things. So hopefully this will be just the beginning.
Hopefully. We'll see. Yeah. So with that, that ends our news segment of the show. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, you'll hear nothing but dead silence.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
And we're back. Are you ready for silence? Just kidding. We like to talk too much. There's no way that'll happen. So, AJ, I've been sick and trying not to cough in my comic books. What have you been reading?
Oh, we're not doing the silence anymore?
No. No. I like to hear my voice too much, especially now that I can hear it again.
I was doing the whole Pootie Tang moment, you know?
And that's where the show went downhill.
And Martin's sick again. I win!
Yeah.
Yay! Okay, well, let's do bad before good. Dad always told me to eat the vegetables before I got to the good food, so let's eat the vegetables. I made the mistake of reading Thanos Rising, a new 5-issue comic book limited series that was put out by Marvel Comics as part of their new Marvel Now series.
Now.
Which should have been called Marvel Now This Sucks. The series was written by Jason Aaron and had artwork by Simon Bianchi, which focused on the origins of the supervillain Thanos. For those of you who aren't familiar with Thanos, turn off the show now. He was the villain you saw at the end credits scene during the Avengers. The guy with the blue face and the chin and everything. For those of us that do know about Thanos, let me give a quick rundown, a background on Thanos, first off. Thanos is a Titan. He was born on the Saturn's moon of Titan, and he carries the Deviant's gene. I'm reading from freaking Wikipedia right now. Thanos becomes mindful of his appearance and isolates himself, and eventually falls in love with death, and becomes a mad Titan. He uses bionics and mysticism, and becomes the most powerful of the Titans, and starts searching for power, including the Cosmic Cube, the Soul Gems, the Infinity Gauntlet, stuff like that. He is the bad guy that's out there. So you become familiar with Thanos as just being just evil, manipulative, and just power, just outright power. So Thanos Rising is about Thanos in high school.
I still can't help but laugh when you say that every time.
Soak that in. Titan, this monster, evil, pure bad guy. He's in love with the character of death. You know, he's defeated the Avengers many times. He's had run-ins with Galactus. He's from Saturn, the moon of Saturn. Okay, the series is about Thanos in high school.
Okay.
Okay.
And he's a badass, right? Because he's Thanos.
No, he's a goth kid. He's fucking Snape.
Wow.
That's what this series is about. It should have been called Snape Rising. I would have been better with Snape Rising than Thanos Rising. Okay? That's really all I'm going to say about the series. It was crap. I don't want to see how this all-powerful Titan, this guy who's basically a god, went through junior high as a rejected kid. How people made fun of him because he had blue skin. How he went to high school and couldn't get laid, couldn't get a date for the fucking prom, or any of that stuff. How his mom didn't like him because he was fucking blue. Fuck you. Really? Thanos in high school? That's what you want to show me? Oh, man. This had to be the stupidest move that Marvel's ever made. And I understand it. They wanted to humanize Thanos. They wanted to give people that have never heard anything about Thanos, just as the guy with the weird chin at the end of the Avengers, and try to make him more receptive, more just being able to see eye to eye, more relatable. But really? Thanos in high school?
Yeah, it doesn't make me want to see him in the Avengers anymore.
They even showed kids playing Saturn's version of football and not picking him for the team.
Sounds like a teenage rom-com.
It was Smallville.
Wow.
I don't understand why they do this. They try to make it creepy. They try to show that he started experimenting by dissecting animals and all this stuff, and now he began dissecting other sentient beings like himself. He was the person that introduced murder into the world of Titan. All they were missing was the locker room scene where the kid snapped his ass with a towel. I was so upset by this series that I didn't even finish it. I mean, I got to issue 4, and I'm like, I'm done. It's dumb. I'm done. I live now. I don't need it anymore. Why don't you just show him on a freaking skateboard? Why don't you just show him wearing glasses and calling him Lucas? You know, like, every teen, they should have just had, like, you know, a John Hughes soundtrack playing in the background. You know, Don't You Forget About Me should have been playing while he's walking down the street in the series. Like, yeah. So bitter.
Wow.
So there you have it. In my opinion, don't bother picking it up if you're interested in it. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm just bitter. Pick it up yourself. Read it. Let me know what you think, because I'm always down for a good discussion.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give that 3 issues, though. Just from that Thanos in high school. Like, that would, I'd automatically walk away.
And he's got the helmet. The helmet he wears now, he wears in high school, and they never talk about it. Apparently, he ripped out of his mom's vajayjay wearing that freaking helmet. Like, Stupid. Oh, wow. Well, he's blue because he lacked oxygen. He had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck while being born. So that's what kept him blue for hundreds of years.
Wow.
Time did he get oxygen on the moon of Saturn in high school. Moving forward. I recently heard about NBC's new acquisition of a comic book series and their plans to make it into a TV series. So I went and decided to pick up the series just to get an idea of what it was about because I'd never heard of it. The series is called Revival. It was published by Image Comics. I don't know much about, you know, who wrote and drew it because I suck like that. I do. Tim Seeley is the writer and creator, and the artist is Mike Norton. Here's a brief rundown of what the series is about. Okay, it's for one day in rural central Wisconsin, the dead came back to life. Now it's up to Officer Dana Cypress to deal with the media scrutiny, religious zealots, and government quarantine that has come to them. In a town where the living have to learn to deal with those who are supposed to be dead, Officer Cypress must solve a brutal murder and everyone alive or undead is a suspect. This series is actually pretty awesome. I thought I was just getting into another zombie series, which, as a zombie comic book writer, I could do without. But it's not. It is so not that. You hear the term come back to life, and you automatically think zombie. It's not. The point of view they take from it is that these people have died and then come back to life, and then just continue life as normal. They're just, you know, having been reborn or what have you. And so that's kind of cool, except it just happens in this one town. You see what has to be their equivalent of alien bonies from, I'm talking warm bodies now, you know, hovering around and stuff, and there's some mystery in there. But the series comes across more as a detective novel. I want to say it's very akin to the series called Whiteout by Greg Rucka, something we're reading in our comic book club meeting for this week. And it's actually really, really cool. Just, you know, the little things that happen, the way people are reacting, how people are freaking out, and treating them like, you know, like some sort of race card, you know, like they're racist about it or something. And just, I don't know, it's really, really good. I've gotten through the first series, the first five, actually the first nine issues. And I just want to keep reading. I'm mad that it's coming out at such a, only once a month. I want to read a new one every week, if possible.
So, now, do you see this as a book that can easily translate to television?
Absolutely. It's one of the few books that can. Because at no point in time do you have to get too extensive in the makeup or anything like that. They just come back to life. Like, they're the same people. They wear the same clothes. They go back to try to get jobs, and they try to continue on as they are. And some people, you can't even tell that they're reborn. You know, they can't tell that they've been revived. They just kind of hide it, like they have their own little secret community of people that came back to life. But it shows like the point of view of from different aspects, the people that just want to continue living and being normal and being accepted for who they are, the people that think that they're God Almighty now, the other people that think they're victims and that they've been smitten by God, and so on and so forth, the different types of reactions that you would have to something like this. It's very almost akin to iRobot, and where not the movie, the book, where you see, you know, these two detectives are going to dealing with different stories of robot interactions, robot-human interactions and whatnot. It's very similar to that. So I really dig it. It's really cool, and it's something that's completely different. So, you know, I have to give them credit, like, kudos on the series, and I'm excited to see it as a TV show. Because I think if they do it right, it'll be, you know, Fargo meets zombies, but not zombies.
They're not zombied out, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it shows a couple of them, like, taking bullets and being shot, being stabbed and being beaten up and stuff like that, and they just continue living. They just now have the scars, you know, and they even show somebody being beheaded, and, you know, once the head gets in range of the body, it just fuses back up, they get up, and they go on like nothing's ever happened. They still have to live with the horror of being killed and the pain that they experienced while it happened. However, they just try and go on about their normal day. So it's pretty cool. So if you get a chance, pick it up. It's on issue 12 right now. It's being put out by Image Comics. It's one of those new, you know, Image Comics flooding the world with number one series that they've been dealing with lately. But it's not what you think, so I think you will enjoy it. And
sounds cool.
That's pretty much all I have.
Awesome. So so to tack on to the end there, we do have a comic book club meeting this week. The Inland Empire Comic Book Club is meeting this week, and we're going to be checking out Whiteout as one of the books. Rachel Rising, which is also another book that they're trying to turn into a TV show. And then I'm blanking on our other two books at the moment. The Ultras, I believe, right?
Yes.
And there's one other one. But if you guys ever want to check it out, we're on facebook.com/IE Comic Book Club. And if you're local, come check out the meeting. Heck, if you're not local and you're out visiting the area, if you follow the page, you can get our events notices and tag along when you get a chance.
It's actually kind of cool. A lot of people have been telling us about how wonderful it is that we have something like this. It's a book club meeting that focuses on comic books, and it's a great opportunity for those of you who have been looking for a way into comic books without having to deal with, you know, 50 or 60 years of backstory, and to come in fresh. Then this is a great opportunity for you, because we even talk about books that aren't mainstream. That's what we kind of focus on. Because it gives all the indie creators and all those other books, such as Revival, Whiteout, Ultra, and all the other kinds of books that we have read, Powers, Why the Last Man, Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse, a chance to actually shine and get the attention that they deserve. And at the same time, it's a short enough run of a series to where you won't get too emotionally invested, or, I mean, you know, you're not looking to hunt down hundreds and hundreds of issues of backstory and forward story and all that stuff. It's just, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a great chance to sit with a whole bunch of like-minded geeks that like to chat and have fun. We've even gone so far as to have meetings at the sushi restaurant and have sushi and comics, which was a really cool opportunity. So, yeah, if you get a chance, please join us at any one of our meetings. It's great.
And after this meeting, it has a special bonus. After talking about the comic books and talking about Whiteout, the group is going to sit down and watch Whiteout, the movie that was based on the comic book, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be really awesome.
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 Are we going to play Silence again?
Yes, let's play Silence. And done. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back with more shenanigans.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
Times like this, the great heaven knows.
And welcome back to Panelcast. And
hi.
So in this segment, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show, but real quick, we want to talk, and first off, thank Chris Brady and all of our fans for coming out and seeing us at a Free Comic Book Day on May the 4th. Fantastic experience. Martin, you ran the ZKS Zombie Maze. How'd that work out for you?
It was awesome. First off, Free Comic Book Day just turned out to be a beautiful day to be outside and to be doing this outside of Four Color Fantasies and Rancho Cucamonga. And then this idea of sending the kids that are coming through Free Comic Book Day into a maze with zombies, including the zombie beauty queen from the Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. Their court members were in there with a couple other volunteers who became undead for the day, were hunted down with Nerf guns so that they could survive the day. It was entertaining, to say the least. There were more grown-ups screaming and freaking out and coming back out the entrance than there were little kids. We only had one little girl cry. So that was good.
And that was Martin.
Nat, of course, had the best scream of the day walking in. Nat of Four Color Fantasies also. It was an all-around fun time. Like, I think it was one of those things where people were kind of like, well, you know, there's a bunch of cardboard boxes stacked up that looks like it's going to fall over any time now, which is very zombie apocalypse. And it was just something fun to do. And you know, we actually let them shoot the zombies. So that was cool. And I got to bust out my Nerf arsenal, which I'm always proud to do.
Nerf.
Yes. Nerf or nothing.
Yeah, it was really cool for us, too, being on the other end of the table. All the fans that came by to see us and talk to us and stuff. So Again, thank you to Chris, and thank you to everybody that made it out there. It was a fantastic day. We've been actually pretty busy trying to get everything organized and put together. We had the release of Forbidden Tales at WonderCon last month, which was just fantastic. The response has been great. You were about to say something, Martin?
Yeah, the Midnight Movie Maniacs has been super busy since the summer movie season started with Iron Man 3.
Yep. Every week we're catching a new movie, sometimes two. If you have an opportunity, come and join us at one of our events. Midnight Movie Maniacs at Facebook. 12 a.m. Movie Maniac on Twitter. We'd like to see you guys out there. And it's not just... I mean, it's nothing other than a bunch of geeks getting together and watching a movie on opening night, talking about it, having fun, great time. Check out our podcast on ForbiddenPanel.com under the Midnight Movie Maniacs category.
Yes, and we're always looking for people to come help put input into that podcast. As much as AJ and I love to hear our own voices and have fun and great things to talk about these movies, it's cool to have other people who attend these shows and get excited about a movie or disappointed about a movie and, come tell us, come share why. It's always good to hear and have discussions with other people.
Right. What else do we have? Martin, you are, the director of the cosplaying division. What do we have going on?
That's right. The cosplay division will next be appearing hopefully at the San Diego Comic-Con Zombie Walk, which takes place on the Friday of San Diego Comic-Con every week. And hopefully we'll be walking the Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Queen through that walk, escorting them around so that they don't get out of control. And then next up we will be at the Claremont Packing House Comic and Collectible Show, August 4th. It's a Sunday. It's an awesome little show. You can come take your picture with some zombies and the ZKS squad. We'll also be having sign-ups for people who want to join the ZKS group, and a little bit of information about the comic book it's based on from Forbidden Panel, of course, the Zombie Kill Squad.
Lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy summer.
Yeah. Don't forget about our dinner at San Diego Comic-Con.
That's right. Wednesday night, preview night, July 13th, I want to say. We will be having dinner at the traditional strip club.
I believe it's
no,
the 22nd.
Mom, if you're listening, Mom, not that kind of strip club. It's actually a restaurant. Sorry. And, but it's just, we always want the fans to come out and join us. Come say hi. Come to an event and just hang out. Poke at us. Tell us you think the show is silly, the funny. You have ideas for things, let us know. We always like to talk to people, and we always like to have discussions further about comic book news, the comic books themselves, joining us at all our events.
Plus, the restaurant is awesome.
Yes, there's nothing better than cooking your own steak. It's very manly.
It's July 17th at the Gaslamp Strip Club. We start at around 7:30. We know you guys got other things to do. It's preview night. You're all excited and giddy, but I'm telling you, just come on down, join us. It's fantastic. The numbers keep growing every year, and we love having dinner and hanging out with our friends and stuff. We're just amazed we have friends or fans or anything like that.
Yeah. Mostly, it's one of those things where I think it's the calm before the storm a little bit.
Right.
I think that's always really cool when we have this meetup. Like, you get a whole bunch of people that you probably won't see the rest of the weekend. But you get there, you sit down, we take up practically in the entire back room, and we have our own little stove and things like that. It's just a really cool time to hang out. And we try and do this for a lot of the cons. So definitely be checking into ForbiddenPanel.com, checking in our Facebook page, follow the podcast, and you'll get all these details on events.
And I think that about wraps it up for us. Martin, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Nope. Glad to be back.
Exactly. So, all right, guys. So that wraps up episode 115. To hear all the other wonderful stuff that we're doing, please check out ForbiddenPanel.com. We post news and reviews up there on occasion. We also do the Midnight Movie Maniacs if you want to hear us on a weekly basis. I know I do. So for Martin, this is AJ. Thanks again, and we'll catch you guys later.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.